chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. And then we will also be looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, but that will be later. So if you want to stick a piece of paper or a pencil or something in Matthew 1, that is found on page 1497. So Matthew 1 is 1497, and the scripture passage we'll be reading right now is on page 1069 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 7, page 1069. Hear now the word of the Lord for us today. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out, you and your son, Sher-Jash-Hub, and that was a prophetic name that was put onto Isaiah's son, and as you can see in the bottom, Sher-Jash-Hub means a remnant will return. So God promising that some of Judah will always be kept back, will return as a remnant. So Isaiah and his son go out to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tebal king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and the glory of Christ our single concern. Amen. This passage is often quoted at Christmas time, and appropriately so, because we're going to see later, Matthew pulls out one verse in there to explain how God had foreshadowed the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the King, and it was in ways that people never really expected. So to jump into the story where Isaiah wrote this passage, where the prophecy was first foretold, gives us a little more insight into what the people were needing and expecting, but also gives insight as to why we need Jesus. Above all else, we need Jesus, because he, above all else, is Emmanuel, God with us. So Ahaz, we've talked about Ahaz before. Ahaz, king of Judah, was not a righteous king, remember. Ahaz, king of Judah, was a rebellious king and did things that were not right, not according to the laws of God. But regardless, God had promised that a king, one of David's sons, would sit on the throne of Judah, and it was not yet time for them to go into exile. And so when the king of Israel, the kingdom to the north, and the king of Damascus, which was the pagan king north of Israel, when they got together and said, "Let's go take down Judah," King Ahaz got nervous, as well he should, because when two kings come to team up on you, it tends to go poorly. And so he was nervous. He was anxious. And Isaiah came to him, as we read today, Isaiah came to him and said, "God has told us that that is not going to happen to you. God says, I am with you, and that is not going to happen. I will make it so clear to you that's not going to happen that we translate it as virgin because we're translating in Matthew, but the Hebrew can mean virgin or young woman, that the young woman will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel." And the young woman in this particular passage in the historical time, in Isaiah's time, was either Isaiah's wife or King Ahaz's wife. And the child who was born to them was either Hezekiah or Isaiah's third son, one of Isaiah's children. And that child was called Emmanuel. As a reminder, listen, God is with us. As a reminder to Ahaz and to the whole nation of Israel, of Judah, God had not abandoned them. God is with you. And so it's a physical, tangible reminder to say, listen, Ahaz, even though you've screwed up and you're going to go on to screw up even more, even though you've broken faith, broken covenant, God will not abandon you. God will watch over you. And this current situation, this current reality that you find yourself in, this current threat of the two kings that are encamped around your walls, it will go away. How long will it take for that to go away? Let me tell you, God says, before the child knows enough to choose the right, the enemy will be gone. And it tells us very clearly who the tool, the instrument that God is going to use to bring this salvation for Judah. And in the very last verse that we read this morning, verse 17, it tells us that it is Assyria. That nation that we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, about that was the source of anxiety for King Hezekiah, because Assyria wanted to take over Judah and Jerusalem. But God was using them as a tool to deliver Judah at this time, to bring about his will so that Jerusalem could be set free. And so the sign for the people, the sign for the king, the sign for the nation of Judah was that the child would be given the name Emmanuel, God with us, or God is with us, to use proper English. But as we talked about so often throughout this Advent series, the ways that God saved before Jesus just weren't enough. They just weren't sufficient. We talked about needing solace, needing to be met in our time of despair and of our time of distress, and needing comfort. And true comfort can only be found in Jesus. We talked about needing peace, shalom, flourishing of all things. And we talked about how the people of Israel and the nation of Judah pursued peace and desired peace and wanted to be at peace. And they were delivered time after time after time, whether it be through Moses or through Joshua, whether it be through David or through Samson or through Deborah or through Esther. The people were longing for peace, to be free from conflict, to have flourishing. And yet, time after time after time, it just wasn't enough. Until Jesus came. And then the peace, the flourishing that Jesus brought, the flourishing of the kingdom of God that Jesus promised, was different than anyone expected. We talked about healing, about how even though people like Lazarus were raised from the dead, they still died. And even though we know that God is capable of healing people today, even though we know that God does heal people today, even though we pray and believe and ask that God would please heal people that we know today, and perhaps God will heal people we know today, we know that that physical healing is just not enough. Without the eternal healing, the eternal reward of the new resurrected body that came through Jesus. Just yesterday, we talked about the need for home, the need to have a place, the need to have an inheritance, as they thought of it in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament. The need to be centered, the need to have a place that you know is your own, a place that will sustain you and keep you. And we talked about how the exiles desperately, desperately wanted God to bring about their return home. And then we found how through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, our definition and our understanding of home is completely different. But it's better. It's more rich and fuller. Because now, no matter where we go, no matter who we speak to, no matter what happens to us, we have our sense of home. We have our resting place, as it were. And it's only through Jesus that we can have any of these things. We celebrate today the birth of a baby. We remember today the birth of a baby. We just had the conversation yesterday with my kids about how Christmas, is all about Jesus. You literally cannot have Christmas without Jesus because we're celebrating the Mass, the church service, the birth of the King, of Jesus. And yet, when you watch most popular culture, the meaning of Christmas is something about family or about helping others or other very nice things. But that's not why we celebrate. Those are what we're supposed to be doing every day, right? That's what we participate in every day. So what is it that has changed our lives that centers our world at this time? What is so special about this day that we celebrate, the coming of a baby that is different from every other baby? We celebrate because that baby is God. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the King, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's what Jesus means. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We celebrate today. The world is different today because that baby was God. that baby came to be what we could not be, to do what we could not do. That baby was God's gift to us. All of the gospel writers speak of the birth of Jesus differently, but they say the same things. Matthew talks about Jesus being the Emmanuel, God with us. So God coming down in the fulfilled way. So Isaiah, this is the way that most Old Testament prophecy works. Isaiah saw something or wrote something kind of picturing what it meant for God to be with us. And the way that he saw that was through this child that would be born that they named Emmanuel. But in the distance, in the darkness, in the part that he couldn't quite figure out, was the truth that one day God would come and be born. Which is why Matthew quotes that part. Which is why it was foreshadowing, even though it was talking about a child in Isaiah's time. So Matthew talks about it as Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. Mark, as we're going to see next week, this coming Sunday, when Mark talks about Jesus, he sets it up in a very dramatic way that the one coming before the Lord has arrived, John the Baptist, in that he is coming to prepare the way for the Lord, and the Lord will appear, and God himself will be in his temple. And then the very next thing that happens is Jesus shows up on the scene. And so Mark very clearly is saying, this man is the one who is God incarnate. And speaking of incarnate, John speaks about how God, the God who is God from God, became God with flesh on. God in flesh meant, because we use incarnate a lot. Think about that. God with meat on. And he tabernacled among us. He tented with us. Moved into our neighborhood is the way that Eugene Peterson translated it in the Message. In Luke, we just went through Luke a year ago about how Luke gives these big, bold proclamations through Mary and through Zechariah that the one who will be born will be the one who will set all things right, will be the one who will overturn the oppressive systems of this world and will bring about the kingdom of God. And so we celebrate a baby. But why is that important to us? Why does it matter that that baby came? I like the really big picture things. So I tend to go into the incredibly theological and historical and the redemptive and new creation. My wife calls it esoteric. So, oh, come on, people. Esoteric means really out there. It's a joke. All right? We're going to try again. Okay? When I say esoteric, it's a joke. So you all laugh. I tend to go theological and 30,000 foot and new creation and all of these big words. My wife thinks it's esoteric. Thank you. I like the big picture because it makes sense to me and that's where I dwell. But what does it mean for us in our day-to-day lives that God himself was born as a baby? Needed to have his bottom wiped, got splinters and sores and scraped knees, and lived and breathed, got sick, so that he could show the world what it really meant for God's people to follow God, so that he could live a perfect life and die, so that we could be reunited with God. So that he could rise again, so that the world would know that the new creation had begun. So that he could ascend to heaven, so that the world would know that Jesus Christ reigns over all. Why does that matter to us, particularly, individually? Jesus the Messiah means that God is not with us, humanity, But God is with each and every one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, that God's power is with us? That God loves us, each individually, in particular ways? What signs do we see in our lives that God loves each of us and is with each of us? Let me tell you a story. 7 months ago, when Chris and I were getting ready to go to Israel, you all were incredibly generous to help us fund that trip. So thank you all very much for that. But there was a lot of gear that we needed to purchase in order to be equipped to do that. Hiking in the desert and all that. It's not things that we do here very often. So Chris was very nervous about finding the right clothes for me particularly. I'm not sure why she always worries about getting clothes for me, but she does. She was very, very worried about finding the right clothes for me because they tend to be very expensive if you want them made well, which is what you'd want. And so she looked online, and a pair of Columbia zip-off hiking pants, which is what we needed because we were going into the desert, so we needed long pants, but at the same time, it's nice to be able to zip them off and have shorts, was $70. And you need at least two, if not three of those, which the price just keeps becoming more and more expensive. And so she goes, if we do this, and then we need shirts, and we need this, and we need that. Oh, this is going to cost so much money. And so Chris prayed and said, God, we need to find a pair of Columbia zip-off hiking pants in Jake's size for less than $70. And she went to the thrift store the next day, here in Hamilton, Heart to Heart. She went to Heart to Heart, and guess what she found at the thrift store? A pair of Columbia zip-off pants, hiking pants. And guess how much they were? They were not. They were not even $4, which is the normal price for clothes. They were on sale for $2. And that day, my wife came home from Heart to Heart and said, God loves me very much. God wants me to know that He's looking out for me. God just told me that He cares for me. I believed her because for years during seminary, Chris would pray, God, Dean is growing like a weed. He did. He was always two sizes bigger than what he was. So imagine that. When he was 6 months old, when he was 3 months old, he was in 6 month clothes. When he was 6 months old, he was in a year clothes. When he was a year old, he was in 2T clothes. Think of how many clothes we had to buy in his first year. All right? It was a lot. And so we were buying clothes often. So Chris would pray, God, Dean is growing again. We don't have any clothes for the next size. Please help us. And she'd go to the thrift store in Zeeland and come back with four bags of stuff and say, I spent $40 and we have a whole wardrobe. And I'd say, that's ridiculous. That's amazing. She's done that regularly, over and over and over again, because that is how my wife knows that God loves her and cares for her. How do you know that God loves you and cares for you? In what ways do you experience the love of God, the power of the Spirit, God incarnate dwelling among us? For some, it's planting a garden and watching their food grow before their very eyes. For some, it's going hunting or napping in the woods, as Tom calls it. Sorry, Tom. You did see a deer? That's fantastic. Maybe it was you too. It was really big. I know a lot of people that that's where they meet God. For some people, it's coming to church. For some people, it's the sacrament. For some people, it's learning. For some people, it's friends. For some people, it's baking. For some people, it's doing hair. For some people, it's writing cards. For some people, it's receiving cards. How do you know that God loves you? That God is with you? That God cares for you and is working towards redeeming all things through you? Emmanuel, God with us, is a great, great word. Because it means that God has come and done the work so that we may be with God. So that we may know God's love, God's presence, God's care for all eternity. Does it make everything better? No. That's what Advent is all about, is we are still waiting and longing and hoping and crying out and saying, God Almighty, Jesus, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Because we are weak and your people are hurting. We wait for the coming of the King, but we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the King has come and one day will come again. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we thank you for coming, for being born as a person, for being the covenant partner that we could not be, so that your people could be reunited to you. So that you could redeem all people, so that you could bring about the new creation. God, we thank you for Jesus. We celebrate today the coming of Jesus Christ, our King, born all those years ago, but somehow still living in us, touching us, shaping us, reminding us that you are near and that you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.